Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Elka Fraser.
Good morning. Nice to see you all. It's great. It's a great morning of new beginnings and new things to do. And I think it's always great to launch out into something new, which you might not be too comfortable with. And this morning, I want to talk about a bit of endurance and a bit of perseverance. Yeah? I tell you the punchline just right at the beginning, yeah? So just in case you fall asleep halfway through, at least you know, beat the punchline. The punchline is, keep going. Have you got that? What's the punchline? Not the way. I've got some scriptures for you. The first one is from 1 Timothy 4, it's verse 8 and 12 to 16. And it should come up maybe in a minute up there. And it says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. And then if you jump to verse 12, it says, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecies spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. And give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. And what I would like to do is, I would like to keep your focus on a few words there. The first one is, physical exercise is good, but godliness is better. And the second bit is, throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. And like for me, you know, I was asking God, you know, what do you want to say? And I was thinking, like, God is obviously speaking to us in several ways, and I don't know how God is speaking to you. So obviously, we just heard about this prophetic course, which sounds absolutely fantastic, and you know, and I'm not necessarily the person who gets like a download every 2 minutes of what God is saying to me. I don't know, some people do, and they can like write whole books about what God is saying all day long, but I think I'm a bit more. I say sometimes, I don't know if that's the right word, but sometimes I don't feel as spiritual as other people. But for me, I'm a little bit more simple. So when God speaks to me, he speaks to me a lot of times kind of like unexpected, like just through normal day life. Yeah. And God also obviously speaks to me through the word. So that's kind of like my two major things. So when I read God's word, kind of like the light bulbs go on, but also lots of normal day life. And as we said, physical exercise is good. I quite like physical exercise. Surprise, surprise. And I actually like a lot of outside physical exercise. I like a bit of running, like a bit of cycling, like a bit of walking about, anything which gets me out. And I don't want to waffle, but I'll tell you a very brief story. So last year, I went once to the swimming pool with the kids, and then there was this poster, and it said triathlon. And I thought, oh, what's that? So I said running, I said biking, and I'm like, oh great, I can do that. And then it said swimming, and I'm like, oh, bit of a rubbish swimmer. But it was quite a short distance because it was a sprint one. I thought, oh, I think I can manage to do that. So anyway, I trained up for this triathlon and finally kind of like entered in against the odds, not being an athlete or anything. So, and I went round it, and for me, my goal was to go round it, yeah? Just to kind of like see if I can manage doing it. And it's very interesting if you look at a triathlon, because it's obviously a race. So you've got a start line and you've got a finish line. But it's not like when you just go for a run. So you start running and then you finish running. But you kind of like start swimming, jump in the pool, and then you come out and then there's a transition. It's like a whole set of rules to it. And then you run to your bike, go on the bike, do a bike race, come back, go to another transition, get rid of your bike, and maybe put your running shoes on, whatever you need to do, and do a run, and then it's finished. So the whole thing is a race, but it's basically you've got different disciplines in there, and then also you've got in-between bits in there, which are all part of the race, because your whole time at the end is not just your three different bits you've done, but is also the time in between. That's all, you know, part of your race. So anyway, so as I'm going around, God speaks to me. So kind of odd, isn't it? And God just talked to me about Christian life, really. Because when I signed up for it, signing up is actually quite easy, because you basically sit on your sofa, and you go on the internet, yeah, and you look at all the sports events which are available, and you think, like, oh, that sounds quite nice. So you sign up for it, put your details in, have to pay some money as well, and you're in. Pretty easy. Christian life. Jesus has done it all. You can sit in a service here, and he said, you know, I've died for your sin. I've died for anything you've done wrong. I've died for kind of like not being with God right. And you can just sign up for it. I've done it all. Easy. All you need to do is, you need to say, yes, Lord, I believe that, and I want to follow you. Easy, done. Prayer prayed, saved. Easily done. So that's what I thought was the same with that triathlon. I had signed up for it, sitting on my sofa. Easy. And then suddenly I thought, like, I better get the swimming going, because, as I said, rubbish swimmer. So I went to the pool, and, you know, I can do like a breaststroke. I could do a breaststroke, but not really fast. So everybody was kind of like going past me, and I'm like, because the other thing is you have to finish it within a certain time as well. So they don't let you swim like for 2 days until you're finished. So anyway, so I thought, oh, it looks like I have to put some effort in it. And then, you know, I just thought, like, YouTube. You can learn a lot of things on YouTube. So I watched lots of videos, and I realized my technique was completely wrong. So I started swimming completely differently, and suddenly I could actually keep up with people, and I'm like, great. So I went for it. And again, you know, God was telling me, you know, once you've signed up for God, there's a little bit more to do. So now you kind of like need to get into it, really. You need to start kind of like walking, yeah, because it's actually a race. Can I just have my second scripture, which is in Philippians 3. And it's 12 to 14. And it says there, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. We had that, actually Claire brought that this morning. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So again, we're still in our race. The other thing in a triathlon you need to think about is, what on earth to wear? What do you wear? Because you go for a swim, you go for a bike, and you go for a run. And because in between the times all count in your race, you don't really want to go changing and all that stuff. So what do you wear? Somebody very clever came up with the tri-suit, which is absolutely brilliant, because it looks like a swimsuit, but it has got some legs on there, and a bit of padding on the bottom as well when you go on your bike. So, you know, it's a little bit more comfy, but, you know, not too much. And it's really great. It dries really fast as well. So basically, you just come out of the swimming pool or out of the lake, wherever you are, and kind of like you hope that you dry once you're running to your bike, and kind of do that. And again, it's kind of, you know, you go through life and you've got these different races, you've got these different seasons, what God was talking to me about. And it's really interesting, because you only need to wear one thing. One suit fits all seasons. Sometimes you have to complement that suit a little bit with a few bits. You know, you might have to put on your running shoes or something. But it's like one suit, you know, you're saved, and you're building your life on faith in Christ. That's your suit. You're wearing that suit, and that kind of like keeps you going. You know, it's great for swimming, because it's nicely designed. It's great for biking, and it's great for running. So that's how you go. And also, when you're in these races, it's really very, very interesting, because obviously you're thinking, so you have to do all these three different things. So I kind of like need to pace myself kind of intelligently. You know, Pastor Paul was just talking about, you know, we've got these dreams and we need a strategy. You know, we still need to plan, because our goal is to move forward. It's not kind of like to get stuck somewhere, but it's to move forward. So kind of like you do your swim, and at the end of it, you know, you really want to finish the season well. You know, you don't want to, like halfway through, you don't want to say like, oh, I'm going to go a bit slower now because, you know, I need to bike. But no, you're not doing that. But you're like giving it your best, you know, you're giving it your best until the very end. And like for me, I find like in my Christian life, I've gone through a lot of seasons. And sometimes you come to this point where you think like, oh, either you're feeling uncomfortable or you're finding it's coming to an end and you're looking for something else. But my experience is, you know, you want to keep going. You want to finish a season well. I remember my first job, which I had in Germany. And when I took the job, lots of people said, why did you go there? Because it was very well known that lots of people start and then the boss wasn't very nice and people were resigning very, very quickly. And I'm like, oh, no, I can do that. So I took this job, and after a very short while, I'm just thinking, why on earth did I do this? You know, I'm going to resign because there were lots of jobs around at that time as well, so it wasn't even difficult to find something else. But kind of like me being me, I kind of thought, like, no, I'm not going to finish badly. I'm not just going to run away. I really want to resign well, and I thought the day I resign, I want them really to regret that they've ever let me go. And it kind of like it was going on and on and on. And then one day, I was living very close by, so for lunch I would go home. And something had happened just before lunch, and I was so angry. I kind of like went home, and I was crying. But I wasn't crying because my boss was nasty to me or anything. I was just crying in anger. And I think it was one of those righteous angers, you know, where you're like really like, you know, this is enough. You know, I've had enough of this. And, you know, I'm going to do what I believe is right, no matter what this person says. I do not care. If he wants, he can sack me. So anyway, so I went back after lunch, and I think he could see that steam was coming out of my ears. And beforehand, I had asked for annual leave for a certain time because I wanted to go somewhere. Anyway, and he wasn't going to grant it. So anyway, I was just, like, steaming, and I was doing my job, and, you know, this... He didn't dare speak to me. So the next day he came and said, like, oh, I've thought about your annual leave. I just wanted to let you know I'm going to grant you annual leave. And I'm like, thank you very much. And it kind of like went on like this. And at the end, it was very interesting because then God called me to come to England to do Bible college. So it was my time to resign. But by that time, this boss had actually left, had gone somewhere else. But then he wanted to recruit new people. And he asked me if I would come and work for him. And I was just like, yes. But which was really, really great because it was God, you know, who had sustained me. Because, you know, I was praying and I was just thinking like, no, I'm not going to be moved from what I believe in. I'm not going to be moved to go into illegal stuff, correct things that was going on. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the things where we just want to keep going and we want to finish the season really, really well. Coming back to the triathlon. So now then, when you've got transition, very interesting. So you're coming out of the pool or a lake. So when you come out of the lake, you have to kind of get rid of your wetsuit, which can be a challenge in itself, because it is always stuck somewhere and you try to get it off. So anyway, the last one I did now, I was just coming out of the pool, so very easy. You don't have to get off the wetsuit because you're just in your tri-suit. So I was running out. One of the problems was it was 9 degrees and it was really, really windy. And I thought like, oh, I'm going to be dripping wet. And I'm going to go on this bike in this wind. Is that actually healthy? You know, is that actually something you should be doing? And I arrived there, and I was really cold when I was walking to the pool, and I was like, oh. Anyway, but amazingly again, how God has designed the body, because he's given you these things like adrenaline, endorphins, all these things. And as soon as the race goes, it's like all going. And when you come out of the pool, you can't give a hoot if it's cold, if it's wet, if it's raining. It doesn't matter at all. Also, the path to the... to the cycle bit, it was very stony. So when you go like this. When you come out of the pool, you just run. It doesn't matter at all. You don't feel the stones or anything like this. You just run. And it's absolutely amazing. So kind of like you keep going and you're like, yes, one down, you know, I'm in the next season. And also, one thing I really want to talk today about as well is transitions in life. Because I think especially in the Christian life sometimes, we're a little bit like, this season has come to an end. Okay, it's finished. Okay, let me sit down and let me see what's coming next. And then we sit, and we sit, and we wait, and we wait. And after a while, once you've sat down a little bit, you can get quite comfortable where you're sitting. It's the same like, you know, when let's say you're a walker or something. So if you walk every week, you're quite comfortably walking. If at some point suddenly you decide, like, or let's say if you break a leg or something, horrid, and you have to sit down, your muscles go quite quickly. And it's quite difficult to get walking again. And when I was doing these transitions, God showed me another thing, because, like, you've got a complete master plan, kind of like in this triathlon. Everything is regulated. You know your seasons, you know your transitions, and in the transitions, everything is very much marshaled. So once you've gone on your bike, you can't just cycle off, but you have to run to a mount line and then mount, and then from there you can cycle off. Also, while you're there, you have to put on your helmet, you have to put on some shoes. So there are some rules. If you've forgotten your helmet and you're on the mount line, they won't let you mount. If you mount before the mount line, you're disqualified. So there are really rules which are there. It's very much set out. And I believe that our Christian life is set out with rules, but not rules to restrict us, but rules to keep us safe. So, for instance, if anybody would just jump on their bike, and then there are like lots of kind of like stands where you've got the bikes on, and you just start cycling there, you would probably cause an accident because it would be chaos. So you need to be somewhere where you've got a clean start, where you can actually look ahead, and that's where you're doing it. And I think that's what God wants us to encourage. You know, when we've got a transition, when God brings something to an end, he knows what he's doing. He definitely knows what he's doing. We've just been at this, and we heard, you know, that the world was God's idea, you know, and the whole relationship was his idea. And the other day, I looked into Genesis, and it was great. So God created men, and he created all the animals. And he really, to me, it really came through in Genesis 2 that God wants to work with us, because it says, first of all, so he has created the earth and the garden, and he says, you know, you will subdue it, you will rule it, you will take care of it. But then also, what I love is, and then it says God made all the animals and the plants, and he said, and I brought them before Adam, and I asked Adam to name it. So I'm just thinking God could have easily just given him an encyclopedia of animals and said, that's an elephant, that's a zebra, that's whatever. But no, God says, I make it, you name it. You know, God really wants to work with us together. You know, there is really this partnership in there. You know, he wants us to be part of his creation. He wants us to be part of what we are doing, every single one of us. And that's the same thing when we are in transitionings of our lives. God wants us to be part of it. He wants us to understand what his plan is. He wants us, you know, to be ready to still keep moving, because the transition is part of the race. You know, we're not just sitting around there and having a coffee. It's all part of the race. And yes, sometimes we might be a little bit like, oh, what am I doing? Or am I doing it, getting it wrong? For instance, the first time when I did one, it was cold as well. And I had to put you have to put like a number on when you go on the bike. So I put it on a t-shirt and I was going to put my t-shirt on. So I'm running out of the pool, getting my shoes on, getting my helmet on and trying to put my t-shirt on. And I'm like, why can't I get my t-shirt on? It's just not happening. It's not happening. And then somebody said, you've got your helmet on. And I was like, oh, right. Okay, good point. Back, helmet off, t-shirt on, helmet on, and then I could go. And, you know, again, we can get it wrong in our transitions, but then there will be somebody who's kind of like helping out as well and kind of like, you know, saying, come on, wrong way around. So like in our transitions, let's be focused, and let's be focused on that next season. Let's not just kind of like fizzle out somewhere, but let's keep moving. That's really great, you know, and then get on the bike, love the bike. It's really, really nice. And, you know, the bike is like, it's an equipment, isn't it? So I know I've done the swim. So the next season is quite different. So God is giving me some equipment, kind of like to use with it. And you know, and he makes me flying. And what God spoke to me when I was on the bike, I did one triathlon, the Castle Howard one last year. It's lovely because you go through the Hawardian Hills. And some people prefer like the flat ones, but I really like the hilly ones, because once you're on the hill, you can go fast really, really quickly. I'm just loving it, absolutely loving it. I know you have to go back on the other side, but again, it's all about technique. You know, like the swim, I was swimming rubbish, watched YouTube, better technique, could do it. With a bike, one of the main things is, when you go downhill, it's not just like, oh, I'm not pedaling now, you know. I've had all this uphill. I just let go. No, what you do especially before you come like to the valley, you really want to paddle like a madman or madwoman, because you want to kind of like have that momentum to go up the next hill. And I think, like in our Christian life, you know, God was saying, like, when you're really in faith, you know, when you're really feeling you're top of the world, you've just reached the summit, everything's working out wonderfully for you, that's where you really need to seek me. That's when you need to press on. You know, that's when you need to look at the finish line. You know, okay, you know, I need to top up my faith. You know, I need to top up that muscle, you know, which I'm working. And, you know, I really, really, really need to go for it. You know, don't just let go and think like, oh, yeah, I've got it now. Because even, you know, Paul says, you know, I haven't achieved it yet. I'm pressing on. You know, it's a race. You know, I'm not there yet. So you go. And then the other thing on the bike is amazing. So you're going through all these villages, and then they are just like, you've got marshals who tell you where to go, which is absolutely brilliant. So God said to me, you know, in your life, if you're not quite sure which way to go, there are people around you who I've set around you. You know, there are people in the church, they're your friends, you know, your husband, you know, your family, whoever. There are people around, you know, who I've set and who can kind of like say, oh, you know, you need to turn left there now. So, you know, they will help you. And then the other thing, which is amazing, is you go through the villages and there are some random people there. And they always cheer you on. You've never seen them before. They've never seen you before. And they say, yes, lass, you can do it. Yes, lass, keep pedaling. It's Yorkshire for you. And it's really great. And God said to me, that's just like me and the Holy Spirit. You know, I want you to do well. Because, you know, I was thinking like, why do these people cheer me on? They don't know who I am. I can understand if I go to the finish line, my family is there, and they say, like, come on, come on. But these are complete strangers. And, you know, God was saying, that's my Holy Spirit, you know. You know, I want you to do well. I really want you to do well. You know, I'm not a stranger. I'm there for you, and I want to cheer you on. And, you know, I want you to succeed in that life, really. And then it's interesting. So once you've finished the bike, you go to another transition. Because the thing is, you know, God has given me this bike, or God has given me this equipment, whatever I needed for this one season which I've just done. But then it's not just like for me to dump it in the ditch and, you know, go running. But no, I have to dismount and then bring it back to the rack and then kind of like run out and do my run. So God also wants me to take care of what he's given me. Do you know, like, even just because one season has finished and, you know, I've used certain equipment, it doesn't mean you don't need it anymore. You know, God wants you really to take care of it and, you know, just put it there nicely, because there will be another season, there will be another triathlon, and you will need it again. You want to keep it in ship shape, really. And again, with the bike, it's brilliant, you know. When you finish it with a real good sprint, it's absolutely lovely, especially if you can take out a few people. It's just like the feeling, it's just like so nice when you've just gone past a few people. It's brilliant. But then, so you've obviously just used your legs, and I think, like, oh, nice, you know, my muscles are nicely warmed up. I don't know if you've ever done a long bike ride, have done a sprint at the end and tried to walk or run afterwards. You should try it, because the thing is, you feel like they're playing tricks on me, because your muscles are very tight, and suddenly you try to do like these nice long strides and it's just like all wobbly, and you think like, are they mine? Does that pair belong to me? It just feels really, really, really weird. And, you know, you think like, and God said to me, you know, you've got a certain gifting and you use it in one season, and then you go to the next season and you're using that same gifting or that same faith muscle, but suddenly it kind of like feels very different. So don't just assume, just because you know what you're using, what you've used before, it will be the same in the next season. No, it won't. It will probably take a bit of adjustment. So after a K or so, you know, you're all right. The other thing you can do is, before a triathlon, you can do brick training, and you basically train for that. So you do like a sprint, and then you just run a mile, so that your muscles kind of like get used to the transition. But you know, God is really, really encouraging us. You know, kind of like whatever's happening, you know, in these transitions, whatever's happening in the next season, just trust me. Just completely, absolutely, 100% trust me, and I will be there. And the other thing which I really love in God's kingdom is, any person of any shape, size, age can do it. Like, if you see me, you wouldn't think, like, I'm an athlete, and I am not. I'm a wannabe athlete. You know, I really like doing it, but, you know, anybody can do it to their ability. And when I did the Castle Howard one last year, the boys asked me, "Mummy, did you win?" I said, "No." He said, "Mummy, did you come second?" "No." "Mummy, did you come third?" "No." And then somebody said, "Mummy, where did you come?" And I was like, 135. And kind of like, you know, the face was like, oh. And then I said, "But look at my medal." And we got a really, really nice medal. And I said, "Guess what? The person who got there first, they got the same medal as me. I've got exactly the same medal." Which I thought was just absolutely lovely. And, you know, again, there's God speaking. You know, do you remember the parable with the vineyard and the people who work? You know, one just works an hour, one works 2 hours, one works the whole day. And they all come up with the same medal. Isn't that incredible? And you know, and God was telling me, so don't compare yourself. You know, you don't have to win this race or anything. What you need to do is you need to get around. You need to get around your race, which I've set for you. And, you know, and when you come in, even if you're number 135, there are still people there who are cheering. Yeah. There's still people there who are waiting. Because, like, my time was, like, plus 1 hour something compared to the first one. But then the last one was plus 1 hour behind me. So I thought, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I did my race. And that's what I really want to do. And it's also lovely because in our Christian life, we all encourage one another, aren't we? Yeah, we're all in, you know, in our house churches, we're in different groups, worship, little builders, coven club, you name it, whatever. We do a lot of things. And when I did one of them last year, there was this lady, I think it was again at the Castle Howard one, and we were running, and unfortunately you have to do 2 laps there. I actually don't like to do 2 laps of the same thing, because I prefer not knowing what's coming, really. Because there was like some really steep hills, and the second time around, if I know where they're coming, it's not really my thing. I just prepare, you know, I rather prefer not knowing, and then you have to do it anyway. So anyway, so I'd just done the one lap, and then there was this other lady who had also just done the one lap, and she said, "Look, I don't think I would do the second lap now, I just can't." And I said, "You can't stop now. You've done all these hours, you can't stop now." I said, if you can't run, just walk a bit, and then run a bit more. And she was like, "No, I don't think I can do it." And I said, "You will be so disappointed if you will be a non-finisher. You do not want to be a non-finisher." And I said, "Come, you know, I'll run a bit slower and, you know, we'll run a bit." And then she said, like, "Oh, you go, and I walk a bit." And at the end, she finished it. And you know, and that's really lovely. And yeah. And I think, like, all in our Christian life, sometimes we just feel like giving up, isn't it? I mean, maybe I'm the only one, I don't know. But I've had it a few times in my life when I was in a certain season and I just thought, like, oh, can't be bothered anymore, you know. Maybe you struggle with relationships, you know, with people, which I've struggled with in the past, you know. And sometimes I thought, like, I can't be bothered anymore. You know, I'm just finishing it. But then again, God is saying, like, no, that's not really my plan for you. You know, you just keep going. You keep going against the odds. And there's always kind of like a way around it, you know. And today, what I just really want to do is I just want to encourage you to keep going. And especially, I want to encourage you to keep going in those transitions and not to let your faith muscles or your gifting muscles or whatever muscle it is, I don't want them to perish. I really want you to see that God has got a master plan for you. That God has said, you know, I've made these animals, you name them. You've got a job. You know, Paul Manwaring said it was God's idea to create the world. It was his idea. You know, he has got something for you. It doesn't matter if you're young, old, big, small, or anything in between. It doesn't matter at all. You know, please keep going. As I said, that's the punchline. Keep moving and keep transitioning. And also, if right at this place, if you're struggling with some transitions, if you're just not really sure where to go, just ask somebody, you know, ask somebody from the front line, ask somebody who's in your house church, ask somebody who you know is a Christian who has probably done a few seasons and will be able to either pray with you or give you some advice. You know, I just feel like moving. I don't know if it's just me, but you know, I think God's kingdom is moving. You know, that's why we've got this place here. That's why Pastor Paul and Pastor Kate don't just say, like, okay, we've got this place now. And that's it, we're finished. But no, we're always looking for new projects. You know, there's like a whole column on this sheet, and anything else. You know, that doesn't sound to me like stagnant. That sounds to me like come up with something, you know, come up with the next project, come up with the next season, and you know, have some planning there and tell us how to go. So please keep moving and yeah. Excellent. Keep moving. That's all I can say. All I can say. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Wow, that was fabulous, wasn't it? What a great word from God. Oh, praise God. I got a lot out of that. Thanks, Elka. I'm sure you did as well. Really, a real sort of lift, wasn't it? Yeah, I was thinking in Hebrews of a couple of things as you were talking. Just there at the end, there's where the writer to the Hebrews says, you know, let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. Because sometimes people say, well, why do we have to meet together? Why is church? And I think sometimes, and it's important to gather and worship and hear from God and get the preaching. But you know, one of the real things of meeting together like this is to meet together, to be community and to encourage one another. Because somebody's always in a better place and somebody's always in a worse place. But we can always encourage someone else. You know, when we walk in through that front door, it's not, we shouldn't really be thinking, well, what am I going to get out of today? It's more, what am I going to bring today? What am I going to give today? I wonder how God will use me this morning. Every single person, even if you've only been believing, even if you don't believe in God, God can use you to encourage somebody. You know, I don't know if there is anybody here this morning that doesn't, but everybody God can use to encourage somebody else. So let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, it says in Hebrews, but let us encourage one another. And all the more, the writer goes on to say, as you see the day approaching. And he's referring to the day of the end of the world when Jesus comes back, you know, and all things will be fulfilled. And I think it doesn't take much to look out and think, you know, I think we might be heading towards the end times, does it? So even more when the end of times is approaching, because there will be hard stuff to go through. Some hard, you know, that's just it. That's life. But we can encourage one another. And the other bit was when you were talking about the Yorkshire Village, it reminded me of the great cloud of witnesses that it talks in Hebrews. I don't know whether they're all from Yorkshire, and whether the great crowd of witnesses saying, come on, lass, come on, lad. You can do it. Because, again, it's in Hebrews, and the writer has just gone through this long list of heroes of the faith. Let's have a quick look where he says, just pick some out. Moses, Abraham, Rahab, Joshua, when they were marching around the walls, Jephthah, David, Samuel, all the prophets, and then many others that we don't know the names of that he's talking about what they've been through. And after he's gone through this amazing list, he says, therefore, we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses. It's like, have you ever thought that Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon and Samuel and Isaiah and Jesus and Peter and all these, they're all, come on, lass, come on, lad. You can do it. Come on, we're with you. You know, they're with us in the race. Isn't that an amazing thought? Because there it is. We're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith that strip off every weight that slows her down. You know, Elka was in the swimming pool, but she didn't wear a diving suit, you know, and walk along the bottom. It might have been easier than learning to swim, but it would have been very slow to get out of. Let's strip off all the excess weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Who wants to get a face full of gravel on the running track? That's what sin does. You trip up and you go smash, and then your face all gets messed up. That's what sin does. It destroys your race. Yes, you can get back up again. Yes, God will get the wet wipes out, the antiseptic ones, and clear off all the gravel. But, you know, it's better just not to go. Hallelujah. That was a fabulous talk. Thank you very much, Elka. So in the words of Mrs. Fraser, keep going. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.